It's wonderful to see everybody. Happy Sabbath, brethren. Two days before the end of Jesus Christ's physical ministry in 31 AD, Jesus Christ provided to his disciples a foretelling of the events that will occur shortly before his return. And that is found in the famous Olivet Prophecy, which is recorded in Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21, parallel renditions of the Olivet Prophecy. He was given a question by his disciples, who asked him, because he had just said something that was truly incredible. They were showing him the great temple with these huge stones, 600-ton stones, some of them. And he was saying, it's all going to be flattened. There won't be one on top of another. So after they digested that, in response, they asked him a question. Tell us, when will these things happen, and when will be the sign that all these things are about to take place? When are we close to your second coming, your return that you are now telling us over and over again that you're going to return again? And in response to that question, he told those disciples, and of course, and made sure that it was inspired to be recorded in writing and preserved for us. So by extension, he told us that he told us all of those, all of us who read that prophecy, how to prepare for his return and to be ready, quote, to stand before the Son of God, which is quite a thing to think about. There's a song I can only imagine. It says, when I see Christ, will I be standing, or will I just be kneeling or bowing down on the ground? That's quite a thing to think about, that moment when each of us is going to actually meet Jesus Christ. But he said, to get to that point, you've got to prepare. You've got to do things in your life to prepare so that you will be able to triumphantly stand before him, the Son of God, at his return. There's two verses that encapsulate powerfully four different things, action items, that he said his true followers have to do in order to be able to stand before the Son of God. And they're found in Mark chapter 13, verses 33 through 34. Just two adjacent verses. Mark chapter 13, verses 33 and 34, it says, take heed, watch, and pray. There's three in verse 33. For you do not know when the time is. So he also, Christ introduced the indefinite, indeterminate time, as far as we're concerned, of when he will return. And then in verse 34, he said, it is like a man going to a far country, he was comparing himself, going to the third heaven to be with God the Father, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to each his work, which is a very interesting phrase, and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. So the four things mentioned in those two short verses are take heed, watch, pray, and do a work that God has given you to do. So today, let's consider these four action items and consider how to make them the focus of our lives, which they should be. All the temporary things of television, the computer, et cetera, are totally insignificant compared to preparing for the return of Jesus Christ. Now, for your information, I'm going to glean here a little, there a little, from a wonderful article that was written in our previously called Good News Magazine of January, February 2011. And it was titled, Jesus' Warning to Watch. Just what did he mean? It's very inspiringly written, and it's jam-packed with information on describing actually all four of those components that I mentioned, one of them being watch. So let's look at the first one that I mentioned is take heed, the first thing that Christ mentioned actually in Mark 13 verse 33. Take heed. Taking heed to what Christ tells us, told them and tells us, implies that we need to know what is written, which implies we need to study the scriptures related to the Olivet Prophecy, to the related scriptures that parallel the Olivet Prophecy in the book of Revelation and Daniel and all of the other prophetic scriptures in the Bible that interrelate with the Olivet Prophecy, the prophecy of the time right before he returns to this earth. So we need to be well versed in Christ's instructions, and there was a pun intended there, meaning we got to study the verses well, thoroughly, diligently. And it is important to do this. It is a matter of salvation. This is a matter of salvation that we take heed, like he said there. Now, the second point is watch. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13, said, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. And the word watch there is one of them that I'll mention to you. There are several Greek words that are used in the New Testament to describe watching and aspects of watching. Paul was not telling us to be passive spectators, not to read the Bible for entertainment or intellectual curiosity, not to read the prophecies, not to read prophecies for intellectual stimulation. He said that we are to spiritually watch so that it will change our lives and help us prepare for his return. Basically, even though there are several verses for several Greek words for nuances about the word watch, the common element is stay wide awake. When the New Testament commands us to watch, it is usually the translation there's two main ones, but it's usually the translation of two main ones and then a third one. Greek word. The one that is the most commonly used, Gregorio, is Strong's number, the Greek 1127, and it's the most frequently used. Then there's Akrupnio, that's Strong's number 69, which has a similar meaning. Both of them mean stay awake and be sleepless. They are usually meant in the metaphorical and spiritual sense, symbolical, although there are some applications where they're meant in a physical way also. But they are meant to convey the idea that we need to be vigilant and on guard, fully awake, aware, alert, intently focused. And there are several applications of those words, but that's the gist of the meaning, the common element of those words. Like I said, Akrupnio, to be sleepless, keep awake, watch, to be circumspect, attentive, ready. And then the other one, Gregorio, is to keep awake, be vigilant. Okay, so there is one other that's used a smaller number of times. Well, it's actually the word Terejo, and it means to be a guard, like the guards who guarded the Christ's tomb at the crucifixion site. So it's to be on guard. So that's a third one. But the main ones for this message are the first two that I mentioned. We'll see that if we go to Matthew 27, we know that there was one that was basically physical in meaning. Matthew 27, when Christ had gone with his disciples to Gethsemane, and then he took James and the two brothers, two of the other disciples, and said, come with me. And then he said, stay awake while I pray. And in that case, it's obvious that he literally meant stay physically awake. So even Jesus Christ, at this time of great mental turmoil and trial, wanted the companionship of those men and wanted them. Now, whether he implied that he also wanted them to pray or not, it doesn't say. But he definitely wanted them to physically be there with him. Maybe it was a comfort for him. And so he distanced himself for those three, Peter and the other two apostles that were with him. And, of course, we know that they fell asleep. It happened three times. And it became very a trying thing for Christ that they had fallen asleep. But it's notice that, let's go to Matthew 26, 37 through 40 now. Matthew 26. 37 through 40. In fact, this is what I was just talking about. I said Matthew 27. I think I meant to say Matthew 26, the incident that I was talking about in Gethsemane. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. and then it goes on. But it primarily had a physical meaning. However, it is the spiritual application of that word in many, many scriptures, in the Olivet prophecies and in other verses in the New Testament instructing us Christians, that is emphasized by that word, the spiritual watching that Christ said and exhorted us to do. Spiritual watching means properly using our minds and analyzing the state, as we shall see from what he said in the Olivet prophecy, analyzing the world and church in the light of end time Bible prophecy. And I'm quoting from that article, significantly, the very first thing that Jesus responded in with was a somber warning of what to watch out for. And what was the very first thing that he said to his disciples? Take heed that no one deceives you. He started with a very somber warning. And the rest of the chapter there in Matthew 24 and then the parallels in Mark 13 and Luke 21, Jesus answers their questions by revealing the future key trends and conditions for which it would be critically important to watch. And I know it's very sobering to read those words, but it is. It is the dark before the beautiful dawn of Christ's return. That is a reality that we see those clouds darkening before us every day now, even getting darker and darker, spiritually speaking. Now, there was a profound sentence I want to quote exactly from that article in the 2011 Good News magazine. It says, well, first he said that Mark and Luke's accounts of this Olivet prophecy connect watching with praying. And then the profound sentence in the article is, watching helps our praying, and praying helps our watching. So what are some of the things we should watch for at this time in human history and in our lives? Well, since it's brought up first in the Olivet prophecy, we should watch for world events to understand the fulfillments that are occurring. Now, I know it's hard. Sometimes it's depressing. Sometimes it's heavy. And sometimes I say, I don't want to watch it, but we can't be the proverbial ostrich and put our head in the sand. We are to be wise and know what's going on and that prophecy is being fulfilled, because that should encourage us for the wonderful world when Christ actually returns and how he said it's going to be like this first. But if we go to Luke 21, verse 31, Luke chapter 21, verse 31, in Luke's account, Jesus tells us that, and I'll go to 31, so you also, when you see these things happening, all the things that you watch in the news and that you compare with what you have been reading in the prophecies, end time prophecies. But when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. And then dropping down to verse 34, but take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. So there's a warning. Take this very seriously and don't think that you can repent later. prepare now, as of now, for Christ's return. And don't say, I'm going to prepare for Christ's return at some future date. And then dropping down to verse 36, watch therefore and pray. See, over and over again, watching and praying are linked, especially gregario, that Greek word gregario. Now, watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape. And then here's a phrase, all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. What did he mean by all these things? All the things that are recorded in the Olivet prophecy and interrelated with the book of Revelation and other end time prophecies throughout the Bible. Including the tribulations that are coming on this earth. And some people are experiencing, you can definitely argue that people in Ukraine are going through the tribulation now, many of those people. But the birth pangs before the birth will get worse and worse before the birth and Christ's return. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 2. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 2. Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Okay? Implies that we know. Wait a minute now. Did I say? Yes. Yeah, this is right. For kings, verse 2 is what I was zeroing, and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. That means we need to know our leaders, whether they're righteous or unrighteous, and we need to ask God to grant us freedom to do the job he has given us to do, to preach the gospel of the kingdom to the whole world as instruments in God's hands, however powerfully God allows it. Now, if the leaders don't like that and try to stop that, then it's a no-brainer. We've got to obey God rather than men. But we are to pray that those doors be open, that no man can shut. And if they try to shut it, we have to pray to God that his will be done. But we can't stop. As long as we have every breath in our being, until Christ return, the church is commanded to do a major work of spreading the light to the whole dark world. And we cannot say that the gospel was finished being preached by Mr. Armstrong. No, that's not scripturally sound in any way. As long as we're alive, Christ has not returned. We've got to be so doing until Christ returns. Now, watching is sometimes connected to staying spiritually sober and sober-minded, being sober-minded. And there are many verses on that. Some scriptures about watching emphasize watching out for spiritual dangers and enemies, such as savage wolves. Who does Satan want to get and discourage and cause to fail in their individual missions into the kingdom and to fail as a church doing the work of proclaiming powerfully the gospel to the whole world? I guess I answered the question. Who is Satan focused on thwarting of all people that's the true church of God? We've got to be aware of that. We've got to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves and be protected and allow Christ to protect his flock and not be deceived by savage wolves trying to devour us. So we are to be sober and vigilant, Peter said in 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober and vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Staying aware of the powerful behind the scenes role of Satan and the demons enabled us to understand, and this is a quote from that article, the atrocious evil and madness in this world. And that's about the best phrase I could think of to describe the world that we're looking at now. It's atrociously evil, and it's full of madness. And it will enable us to resist. And if God is for us, no one or no thing or Satan or the demons or anything can stop us. If God is with us and backs us up, greater is he who is in us and his Holy Spirit that he's given us in us than anything in the world. So with that stated, there's another thing to watch for. That was basically leading me to just state the obvious. Watch your personal spiritual condition. Besides world news, of course, and by the way, that should be done in balance. Don't neglect prayer and Bible study to watch world news. But you're not sinning by watching world news. In fact, you're obeying with discernment. You're not sinning by trying to get the facts, the truth about what's going on. Of course, we only see through a limited way all the things going on. In fact, we couldn't handle knowing everything that's going on. I couldn't handle it emotionally to know all that's going on in the world. But enough, we should know enough to motivate us to put our whole fiber and being in preparing for Christ's return and for knowing why we need to pray for Christ's return. It's not just for us, it's for all the people suffering out there due to all the evil going on, sins, you know. So anyway, just one example of to show that we should watch our personal condition is Matthew 7:24-27. Matthew 7:24-27. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine, Christ said, and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who builds his house on the rock. And we are striving, the brethren in the church are striving to build on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. As Paul said, that rock that was in the Old Testament was Jesus Christ. And we want to build our spiritual house, our lives on that rock of Christ. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Jesus Christ, who is the coming King, as I said, is that rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, I will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Unfortunately, my house in San Francisco is built on the sand. I didn't consider the scripture when I bought that house. But it's only a tabernacle, a temporary dwelling anyway. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, for great was its fall. We are free moral agents, and that is a very precious gift God gives us. But that means that we can choose wrong, to do the wrong too. It's our choice whether to build our house on a rock or on the sand. So brethren, we put our faith in Jesus Christ, that rock knowing that he is the coming king and he is the head of the church we are members of. He is the living head of this church, which is, as I've said before, all those who have God's Holy Spirit. And he is in charge of our lives. I won't go into detail, but to back up what I just read to you, there is the parable of the 10 virgins. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. It was choices made by those virgins that they made. So we have to individually make that choice to be one of the wise virgins of Christ's parable. So another thing to watch for, besides our own spiritual state, is opportunity to serve brethren and an opportunity to know the spiritual state and how things are going with other brethren. We should watch the brethren and know where they need help, where they need encouragement. We should come to this congregation and watch, be watchful of the brethren here and see where they might need something from us, where they might need a friend that they were able to confide in, and they're longing for, but they're reticent, they're hesitant to go and tell people that. We need to be watchful of others and ask God for discernment and come here not passively, but proactively to watch for the needs of the other brethren in this congregation and all of the brethren everywhere. In Matthew 25, I'll just read a little bit from the parable of the talents, Matthew 25, 19 through 21. After a long time, this is breaking into the middle of the parable, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought forth 5 other talents. And Christ said, well done, good and faithful servant. And then going down into, it goes on with the other one who I think had 2 talents, and one with 1, but many brethren watch by looking for and praying for ways to serve. That's a way of watching. You watch for needs in the church so that you can fill those needs. Pray to God and ask him to make you a profitable servant to others and to God's church and work. Now I'm going to back to the Olivet Prophecy, Matthew 24, verses 45 and 46, where he says, who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant. Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. That shows that he's not here yet. He hasn't come yet. So we've got to be doing that until Christ's feet stand on the Mount of Olives. And I cited Matthew 26 about the Gethsemane, where Christ needed some encouragement by those men staying awake for him. And we've got to realize that we're not in a social club. We're in the very body of Jesus Christ, of those Christ shed his blood for and wants to be part of the first fruits in the kingdom of God. every single one of us is very important to God and should be to each of us. Okay, several other ways just to think about, which could be whole messages in themselves, about being watching is be one of God's watchmen. The prophecies like in Ezekiel 33, God called the prophet Ezekiel to be a watchman to the nation of Israel, to warn them, to show them the better life. And the purpose in life and the gospel message of the kingdom of God and God's family and all that, and to warn them also that if they choose to disobey him, they will suffer, but giving them a way of hope and a way that they can avoid that those unnecessary blindness and suffering. So we need to be watchmen to the world, and that's part of our commission. We also need to be lights to the world, and as it says in Matthew 5:14 in the Sermon on the Mount. And basically, there really is no other light but Christ and the light he gives us to then spiritually shine to the world. Other than that, the world is darkness. We're in the dark ages otherwise. Second, we must study the Bible and be ready to give an answer to anyone who asks us a reason for the hope that is within us. That's another phase of being a watchman. So then, as I said, many of these verses that I read to you, couples watching and praying, they are inseparable. And to quote that, just to quote that verse again, to paraphrase it, watching helps our praying. We see the needs of people in or out of the church, and then praying helps our watching. God gives us discernment, increased discernment and perception, and helps us to do an even better job. So I've basically talked about praying. Oh, by the way, you'll notice that basically both of the words, well, the main words for watching basically say be sleepless. In other words, don't cease watching. What did Paul say in 1 Thessalonians 5 about praying? It's interesting. 1 Thessalonians, let me get the right verse there. I think I know what it is, but 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Paul said, pray without ceasing. We are to watch without ceasing, and we are to pray without ceasing. Meaning that should permeate our lives at all times. We should be in a prayerful and a watchful and a prayerful frame of mind all the time, not just during formal prayer, but all the time in our lives. The other thing that I'd like to say is watch for the opportunities to do God's gospel proclaiming work. And brethren, I am very thankful. All those other brethren and other groups who want to obey God in proclaiming the gospel to the world and who have God's Holy Spirit and proclaim the true gospel, I say, God bless them. But I am thankful to God that he called me and put me where he's put me by his grace. And to be a part of a dynamic, inspiring work, and where God has given us incredible teachers. And even though we wish we did a lot more, I wish that instead of 330,000 Beyond Today magazines, it was 330 million magazines. But we are small. As Christ said, we were going to be a little flock. But I am thankful that he has placed me to be in a congregation which has, and in a church that has that goal. And I want to put my whole heart and being into helping in any way I can, by tithes and offerings, certainly by prayer, tithes and offerings, and by edifying of other brethren personally, and of course, getting my own house in order. I want to help the furtherance of that gospel, and that more people can hear the truth and be given that hope in a purpose in life, given a purpose for living, the great plan of salvation. Revelation 3:10, if we could just look at that, a few more here. Revelation 3:10, it was to the church of, I think that's Philadelphia. Yes, it says, because you have kept my command to persevere. So that is the command that was given to those people in Philadelphia, in Asia Minor. It's the command given to us. I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. Don't let anyone, including yourself, take your crown from you. So do the best you can, whatever your age, whether you're young or old, whatever your age. You know, if we go now to, actually back a few verses in Revelation 3:7-8. Let's just read that. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts and shuts and no one opens. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door that no one can shut it. For you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Yes, that open door to preach the gospel to the world. And that term, open door, was used by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 16 when he talked, just to show that is what that means, preaching the gospel to the world. 1 Corinthians 16:9, it says, well, I'll start with one verse ahead of time, but I will tarry in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great and effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries, but there is a door for him. Actually, the door that he's talking about is when the gospel was first. The door was open to preach the gospel to Europe, to go into Europe with the gospel. That's what he was referring to. And if God opens the door, we must be willing to go through it, and we must be willing to preach that gospel and let no one forbid us, obey him, and have faith that God will back us up. So, brethren, let us, was that me? I guess it was me. Let us think of those four things to take heed of the words of Jesus Christ. His heart-to-heart words 2 days before his crucifixion at the Mount of Olives, when he told those disciples, but it was designed, it applied to them, but it definitely applied to those who would be living at the time of the end, which I believe we are in, and we have been given the privilege of preparing the way right before Christ's return. But let us take heed of his sober warnings, his prophecies, and his encouragement. Let us watch the world events, our own spiritual lives, the needs of all of the brethren, and be very concerned and desirous in every way, helping them, encouraging them to make it into the kingdom of God also. And we need to be prayer warriors. And I know there are many wonderful prayer warriors in the church. And what a blessing that is to become, what a comfort that is to know that there are. And that is definitely a way, an important way to prepare to be able to stand before the Son of Man. And to do that work that he has given us to do, of proclaiming his gospel with every fiber of our being to the world, as he gives us the power and the inspiration and the gifts to do that. I'll close with just reading two sections of scripture. Luke chapter 12, 37, which is a promise to us. Luke 12:37. Blessed are those servants whom the master, which is referring to himself, Jesus Christ, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat, and will come and serve them. Just like he did to the on the Passover, when the Passover was the New Testament Passover was instituted in John 13, when he served those disciples of his, he says, I will come, and I will bless them, and I will actually serve them. And finally, Mark 13, which I started the message with, Mark 13. Actually, I'm going to do the whole thing there. I think it starts with verse, let me get to that. Mark 13, I'll read more expansively. Mark 13, I'm going to start with verse 31 down to 37 as the conclusion of this message, brethren. As he was telling them the Olivet prophecy and what was going to happen before his return. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son of Man. At that point in time, at least, he did not know. And whether he knows now or not, I do not know. But only the Father, when he said those words, knows. Take heed, and I read this in the beginning, take heed, watch, and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants. And he has given authority to the church. He said he point blank said that he had given authority to his church. and to each his work. And we have been given a work individually and as a collective, united body, an organization, and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch, therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. We don't, it's ironic. In preparing for this message last night, I found myself wanting to sleep. And I said, how ironic. I'm doing a message on not wanting to sleep, and I was wanting to sleep. It was, anyway, forget that. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch.